Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So you've finally taken your coat off then.
I've been here a while, haven't I? About an hour, and I find it wasn't that I was cold. I just couldn't be bothered to take it off.
Do you want me to plug in a fan heater for you?
No, I'm not cold. Honestly, it's a very light jacket. I'm not cold. It was just the effort.
It's a parka coat.
No, I know, but it's very thin and light. Look, very thin. I barely knew I was wearing it.
A thin parka coat. I'm quite scared of plugging those fan heaters in. People say, oh, you'll end up with an electricity bill the size of the national debt if you plug one of those things
go
in.
Go bankrupt, I know.
Yeah. My dad has one of those smart meters.
Oh, yes.
And he's hidden the toaster. He now knows how much it costs to use the toaster.
No.
So he's hidden it.
What, does he like do it under a grill like it's 1980
yes,
again?
Yes,
right.
Exactly what he does. Anyway, hello.
Hello.
I'm going to start with a story which I think illustrates the base level of anxiety with which we live in our house.
Okay.
So last Friday morning, like every Friday morning, I was up early. I had to take my son for his appointment that I've mentioned, then take him to school. And then when I get back, Sarah has a lie-in on a Friday morning. She's usually in action by the time I get home. As it happened, when I got back last Friday, she wasn't up. And she'd been out late the night before. She'd been out of town doing a gig somewhere. So I just thought, oh, she's having a lie-in. Now, I then had to leave almost immediately to go back out and do a job at the British Library. I'll point out that I'm not as a librarian.
Right, that's what we're all wondering.
I think I sort of look the part, but I lack the literary knowledge,
okay,
I think.
Okay. How's your shushing?
I think that's offensive.
Why is that offensive?
I don't think librarians like to be thought of as shushers. I think that's an outdated view of librarians, and I think they take offence at it.
Let me tell you, the last time I went to the library, I was shush, so I think you're very wrong about that.
What were you doing?
I was with my child, who's being a bit noisy, so yeah.
And your kid was... I think I've mentioned this before. You know, there are some jobs where you think, you don't like children? Don't do that job. Librarian is what the people at our local library, and their desk is right next to the children's section. I struggle to think of a collective group of people who dislike children more. They seem to really, and I get it. You see them all day, every day. But
no, same here. Yeah.
People who operate fairground rides usually seem to take no pleasure in children.
Yeah.
Parkies.
Yep. Hate them. Despise them. Yeah. So I don't feel bad about saying that shushing thing.
No.
Especially as it happened to me recently.
Yeah. Do you feel like teachers, there used to be quite a sizable number of teachers who seemed to despise children, but that's changed a bit over the years.
I think definitely that's one that's changed, yeah.
When I was at school, there were definitely teachers who were in it because they hated children and wanted to make them suffer. And I say that you don't know if they got into it for that reason in the first place or if the job just did that to them.
Who knows? Yeah.
Anyway, so I had to go to the British Library to record a thing, and listeners may recall, I think 4 or 5 years ago. Do you remember I went there?
No.
I went to record a piece for radio. which is what I was doing this time. And I was very gassy. And I had a strong need to go and release some flatus.
Mm.
So I'm in this quiet room full of what they call the treasures. And it's so, you know, it's painful. The need to get it out is painful. And I just noticed this little side room. So I go into it and just out it comes. I mean, it's an airborne toxic event, as they say. They should really have had to hermetically seal off this little room afterwards. So then I finish and it's almost like my eyes are streaming. It was such an event.
Right.
And I noticed I've come into the room where they keep Magna Carta.
So that's what you've
so
done.
It's like I'd just gone into a little room to fart in front of Magna Carta.
I hate that Magna Carta.
It was. And then there's only one way, because it used to be, I don't think it is now, but it used to be in this room off to one side. So then as I went to come out, of course, some other people were walking in.
Mm,
in my mind, it was a group of Japanese tourists, but I'm not sure if I've invented that because it seems funnier. And then I've been thinking, does that make me a bit racist? Is the idea of it being a group of Japanese tourists only funnier because there's some kind of racist undertone to it?
Possibly.
So I need to do some self-examination there.
Okay.
But anyway.
Back to the library.
So I had to go out and do this thing. And Sarah was having a lie-in. And I didn't want to text her to let her know because I thought the beep of the text would wake her up.
Okay.
So I wrote an enormous note on what's twice as big as A4. A3.
Yeah.
It's confusing, isn't it, that?
I know. I won't say A5, but that made it look silly. Yeah.
Should be A8, really.
It should be A8.
Yeah. So I write this big note in marker pen, and I even say, look, I'm going to be at the British Library. Why don't you come and meet me? We can go and have some lunch, and draw a little picture of her phone saying beep, beep, and like send me a text message. I catch the bus. I go off and do this thing. It's absolutely fine. Start to finish, from walking out my front door to finishing this thing, it takes me about, say, an hour and a quarter. I look at my phone. I've got 16 missed calls and 8 text messages from her.
Oh, no.
And what has happened is she's woken up. She hasn't realised that I was going anywhere that morning. And she's gone into a panic. She thinks I'm dead.
And just like spontaneously combusted into thin air, like dead.
so like, despite the fact that I'd left it, you know, the end of my kitchen table, so if you walk into the kitchen, if there was a note there on the table, it's the first thing you'd say.
Yes,
but she's so unaccustomed to me leaving a note,
right,
that it didn't even occur to her that this big thing that says Sarah underlined 3 times with an exclamation mark next to it is for her.
Right.
So she just goes into the spiral. She thinks that. So as I see this, and then I call her back, she is on her way to my son's school to see if I dropped him off that morning.
No.
Because she's trying to work out if we both died in an accident or whether just I'm in an accident.
That bad?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, she's phoned like 19 friends, gone on this spiral. She's been hysterical. She has. I said to her, if you turned up at the school asking, was my husband here this morning? They think that you suspect me of having an affair.
Yeah, undoubtedly, yeah.
And you're having some kind of break from reality.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that de-escalated very quickly. But that's just to give you an idea of the base level of anxiety in our house.
Wow.
Anyway, so then she comes and meets me at the British Library, and I wait for her in the coffee shop there. And I think we can have a coffee and then we can wander around to a restaurant around the corner and get some lunch, which is what we do. She arrives, she gets a cup of tea and a paper takeaway cup. We sit down, and then I say, and she's saying, "Oh, I've never been in the British Library before. It's amazing in here, isn't it?" I said, "It is." I said, "Do you want to go and see Magna Carta?" And she looks at her takeaway cup, and it's still got, I would say, about a quarter of it still has coffee in, and she says, "I've still got coffee in my cup, and they probably won't let me in with it." I said, well, you could always finish your coffee. You could just leave that. I mean, it's only a quarter of a cup. You've had most of it. She said, well, I don't really want to throw it away. And then, no, I'll just see it another time. Do you not think that's weird?
This great historical document.
Yeah, as well as all the other stuff that's in there. Mm. I think there's something in Shakespeare's handwriting. There's all this stuff. But because she's got a quarter of a cup of coffee left, she'd rather not look at it.
She's thinking it'll be there next time.
Yeah, but my point is she's lived in London like 10 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah.
She first came to London as a child. She's never bothered going into that British Library.
Right. So there probably won't be a next time.
No.
No, this is her only chance.
I mean, my real motivation was I wanted to show her the room that I farted in. Shall we hear from the Drifters?
Yes, this is from Mark. It's another tale from the Englishman in Australia who we've heard from a couple of times before.
Yes.
Both times, I think, involving urinating. Once when his son was urinating into a swimming pool, once when he was urinating in the dark up against the wall of his staff toilet.
Are we in for a hat trick?
There's no urine involved this time. Uh-huh. There is, though, a profanity.
Great.
An F profanity, which I will replace with the word F. Rather than use the full word.
Okay, so then I don't have to put on those explicit marks on the podcast episode.
And I don't have to look potty mouthed.
Yes.
Okay, he writes, I am a pasty Anglo-Saxon who burns in seconds in direct sunlight. So living under the hole in the ozone layer means I spend my life hiding in the shadows to avoid the sun in summer.
Oh, the hole in the ozone layer. I'm feeling this nice retro mention, very nostalgic thinking about that.
Yeah, not heard from that for a while, have we?
No. Is that where it is?
In Australia.
Yeah.
I sort of thought it was everywhere. But
I did, but I bet it was Shane and Henry and Neighbours and all the hairspray that they used to use.
Probably.
Even like Kylie back, I mean, all of them, really.
They all wore a lot of hairspray.
Yeah. Maybe it'll start closing up now. Neighbours is finished.
Oh, maybe, yes. That could be a good thing. There are late afternoons in late summer when the sun is so intense that even standing in front of my children's school to collect them makes me feel like a vampire about to burst into flames as the rays touch my skin. It's not helped by the fact I insist on wearing a proper shirt and long trousers to work, as the day I thought I would go with the locals and try wearing shorts to my job as a teacher is an adrift story in and of itself.
Yes, please.
My pale complexion and the searing sun mean that I am a little anxious about skin cancer, and as I have an unusually high number of moles to begin with, it's an additional whispering voice burrowing into my head, trickling anxieties as I try to sleep. Last summer, I noticed a mole on my shoulder had changed colour and grown, so I booked myself into a local skin clinic for a checkup. I hadn't used them before, but they were highly recommended, and as a big clinic, they were more likely to have an appointment time in the coming weeks. I requested a mole mapping, but was told that the waiting list was long, but they'd fit me in for a quick check that week, looking only at the mole causing me concern. However, the receptionist said I would put on a waiting list for a full review and they would book one if they had a cancellation. On the day of the appointment, I left work in plenty of time so as to get a decent parking spot near to the clinic. I'd come straight from work on a burning hot day, so I was worried as I arrived because I was a bit sweaty before the appointment and would soon have to get my man boobs out so the doctor could check my shoulder, as I was wearing the aforementioned shirt that would need to be unbuttoned to grant access to the mole. Sweat had pooled at my lower back and the fabric was clinging to me. Entering the clinic, I was accosted for not wearing a mask, and from there, the combination of a hastily applied upside-down face mask, a Cockney accent, and acute social awkwardness that makes me garble my words made the check-in a typically excruciating experience for all involved. I repeated my name several times in increasing volume and was even hotter and more flustered by this point. A nurse eventually collected me and walked me through to the examination room where she asked me to strip for my mole check. I was really happy, as I had wanted the full mapping to allay my fears. I double-checked with the nurse to be sure, asking, "Do I need to strip completely?" She smiled and reassured me that I could retain my jocks, Aussie for boxer shorts, and my face mask. She left the room and I began to peel off my work shirt and trousers to reveal the full magnificence of my ashen, moly dad bod, ready for my inspection. I was disappointed to see that I was not wearing this Christmas gift boxes, but a bobbly pair from circa 2015 that sagged in all the wrong places. What's more, they had clearly absorbed some of the sweat and gave off a care home resident sort of vibe. Now in my underwear, I had retained my black socks as I didn't see how they checked moles on my feet. I started to worry about how I should sit. There was a cushioned examination table that was presumably going to be used for the mole inspection and a plastic chair to choose from. I sat on the chair first and tried various options. Legs crossed led to some popping out concerns. Legs apart felt a little Sharon Stone. At this point, I heard the nurse call in, "Are you ready? When you're stripped, lay down on the couch." I tried to reply, but took too long trying to think of a response and felt the moment had passed. I stood up and felt the tug of the plastic seat on the back of my sweaty legs. I went to the couch and started the same internal thought process. Sit up or lay down? On my side or on my back? I chose to sit, but the nurse or doctor didn't come in. Nothing happened. I sat there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, nothing. The room was hot and I was starting to feel dopey. My back was hurting from perching on the edge of the table, so I thought I would lay back and keep an ear out for their return. Time ticked on, and with the heat and the quiet, I must have started to drift off as I stopped feeling awkward and definitely stopped listening out for the doctor's entrance. I was suddenly awoken from my stupor by a deep and booming Australian accent from the outside room. "Okay, Mark, it's a quick mole check, isn't it?" I had somehow got into the fetal position and quickly turned over. I was beginning to push myself up into a respectable position, but as the doctor entered the room, I was in a half crouch with my bottom pushed up and out like I was presenting myself to him. The combination of my porno pose, black socks pulled up to my knees and the face mask still on gave me a look of a fat bloke doing an impression of a stereotypical Middle Eastern belly dancer from a 1960s Bond film. Our eyes met and I managed to say, "Hello, doctor." This just made it worse. Without missing a beat, and in typically bombastic Aussie style, he replied, "F me, mate, you're keen, aren't you?" He went on to explain that I was only there for a quick check, so I didn't need to strip. I tried to explain what had happened and that I'd just been following orders. He hooted with laughter as he realised the error, as the last two appointments had been a couple who had entered together, so I'd wrongly been treated as the husband who has booked in for a full mole inspection. The doctor was tickled by the situation and insisted that I get a full mole check now that I'd gone to the trouble of stripping and even made me take off my socks. However, he was clearly enjoying the situation and told me during the appointment that he was looking forward to telling his friends about this at golf. And while photographing my moles, made comments like, "Yeah, work it, baby," while continuing to laugh to himself. He didn't charge for the additional service, so I felt the excruciating embarrassment was worth a $300 saving. It appears that dignity does have a price, and mine is very low. I recently got a text telling me it was time for my follow-up appointment. I haven't booked.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Wasn't it?
Really good. I mean, I think that perhaps opens up a new avenue for us, doesn't it? Drifters at medical appointments.
Oh, surely that's got some good stuff, yeah.
So please send us your story of that, or, you know, general social ineptitude, as we always say. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Campbell.
Yes.
Funny how you always answer to that name. It's time for another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult.
And as promised, date night. So, a few weeks ago, my boyfriend Tom and I went on a date for the first time in 4.5 years, which is bad. Like, I think married couples probably dated more regularly during the first two world wars. And the only reason it actually happened was because Tom's brother and girlfriend offered to come and babysit for us, which I first thought, oh, that's a lovely gesture. And then I thought that they were worried about our relationship. And then I realised that they were coming to London and needed somewhere to stay for the night, but didn't want to hang out with us. So it was the perfect solution for
Amazing.
Them. Yeah. So I left it up to Tom to choose what we did on date night. And I think he chose well, because we did restaurant, then cinema, which works for me because I like to eat early, but I don't want to talk all night. So for me, that's perfect. Mm. The film we saw, Death on the Nile, the new Kenneth Branagh Poirot remake, excellent. That's my review. But I've not been to the cinema since March 2020, which is a long time, 2 years. And honestly, were they always this cold and uncomfortable?
Oh my God.
I've realised if I'm watching a film now, I can't be in underwear. Like, my bra and knickers have to both be off. I have to be in pyjamas or very comfy clothes. I felt I was extremely uncomfortable. But the restaurant. So the restaurant we went to is a local Italian one. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned it before on the podcast, as when it opened about 5 years ago, I had a terrible run-in with a waitress when I strolled in to get a coffee on a Saturday morning and she shouted at me that they weren't open. And I went meekly back to the car, but then Tom egged me on and I went back in and I complained. And then I could never go and eat there because she was spitting my food. But I've been checking regularly ever since then and she's definitely, 100%, she's definitely left now. And the waiter who greeted us was very friendly and he took us to our table and he was asking if it was a special occasion. And I think in this situation, I'm quite perfunctory. Answer the questions, that's it. But, you know, Tom likes a chat. And I'm personally of the opinion that if you keep the waiting staff talking so long that they had to get a chair and sit down, that you've kept them talking too long. Would wow. you agree?
Yes. But some people just have that. My friend Alex Cossack, who was here last week, yeah. he really pals up to anybody, like anybody working in a restaurant. And if it's me, I could feel myself grating on them all, feel like they just think, I've got other people to serve here, mate.
Yes.
Whereas there's something about Alex, and I'm imagining your lover Tom
yes.
has this quality
yes, yes.
where the charisma is just doing a lot of the work.
You could call it that.
Tom has a lot of charisma, Annabelle.
Well, I couldn't help noticing that when it came to bringing the food, another man did it.
Oh.
And when I say man, it was more like a boy, like he'd paid a kid off the street £1 to serve us because he didn't want to get caught up in another conversation.
Oh, okay, so maybe he hasn't got as much charisma as my friend Alex.
I don't know. And part of the ordering was the wine. And Tom asked a question, which I hate. He said, well, what do you recommend? And I hate this because either they're very knowledgeable about wines and they recommend something hideously expensive, which I can't afford. And then I feel bad about declining the recommendation in favour of the house white. Or they know nothing about wine and they just look a bit like, and you look like a wine snob. Like, I hate that question. The other bad thing was that when we first arrived, the waiter asked if we'd been before, because otherwise he needs to explain the menu because it's mostly sharing plates. And we hadn't been there before. I mean, apart from the time when I walked in for that coffee thing, we hadn't been there before, although I had recently been with friends to their sister restaurant a few miles away. So I did know the sharing plate situation, but it felt easier just to say, no, we haven't, and let him explain. It was just easier.
And did they recommend 3 to 4 dishes per person?
There wasn't that many, but yeah.
But hang on, if it's less than that, it's just a regular restaurant. Well, think about it. So either it's a restaurant where you have a starter and a main, that's 2 plates, or it's a sharing plates where it's 3 or more plates. Well, it can't be less than 3 and it be sharing plates.
Okay. He was saying 2 starters, 2 mains.
Well, yeah.
And that is just like ordering normally but sharing food. You're right.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about
this
that.
This is what annoys me. I've talked about this on the podcast before.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's what he was trying to explain. Yeah. So it was fine. Like, I let him explain because it was easier than having to, I couldn't be bothered. And it was all fine until it came to ordering. And I'd said to Tom beforehand that we should definitely get the courgette fries because I'd had them in the other restaurant. So we ordered them and Tom said to the waiter, oh, she'd love them when we'd had them before. And he looked confused and it looked like I'd lied, which I had. And why would I lie? And I had to explain about the sister restaurant and he looked a bit hurt. Probably another reason why he paid that boy to serve us. But the food was good, although one of the dishes we ordered was a whole cauliflower. I'd like to know when it became acceptable to expect someone to eat a whole cauliflower. I want to say to chefs, you can cut it in half, you know, like then maybe I'll finish it.
I think it's like around 2014.
It's
no,
too
maybe
much.
After
it's
2015,
too much.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's too much. No one can eat that much cauliflower. You can. Because I can't finish it. And then it puts me in that terrible position when they come to take it away and you feel like you have to say something. Like, is there any alternative to, it was lovely, I'm just too full up.
Oh, my eye's bigger than my belly.
Oh, my, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. But in terms of the day, it was all great until we left. And Tom said there'd been a celebrity on the table next to us that I hadn't noticed.
What?
And not only had he not informed me at the time so I could just gawp instead of talk to him, but he didn't know exactly who they were, just knew they were famous. So we won't be going on another date for another 4.5 years now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you.
Well, not to be competitive, but after Sarah and I left the British Library, we then went for lunch. I'm not thinking of it as a date, though.
Well, it is a date. It's two of you, no child, as a date.
I suppose. There wasn't a date-like quality to it. We went to one of these restaurants where you have a little slip and pencils on the table, and then you tick what you want off the menu.
Oh, I've never had come across that ever.
Really?
Is that in fashion now?
I've seen it in a couple of places. I find it very... I don't like it. It makes me tense because... So the menu items are all on this thing, like a grid, and then there's boxes next to them. And some of them are like little sidey things that you might order more than one of. So, for example, there were these bao. Do you know what I mean by bao? Mm-hmm. Steamed buns. And Sarah and I both wanted one. So then what do I do? Do I put two ticks? Do I do a tally? Because if I do a tally, they might mistake it for 11.
Yeah.
And then if I write two, I then start worrying that my two looks like a one, and then I'm going over it too many times with my pencil, and then I make it look weird.
I'm thinking that these slips, they prevent people from making too many adjustments to a meal.
Maybe that's what it is.
I reckon, yes. Could you do it without the and with the that kind of stuff going on?
Anyway, I don't like these slips. It's another one of these trends.
Okay.
Like you feel about the whole cauliflower, or like I used to feel about no reservations restaurants.
Yeah. Used to.
No, what I mean is I read an article about this the other day.
Yeah.
Not saying that every cloud has a silver lining, because obviously the pandemic's been terrible. Yeah. But it's really died off a lot as a trend, and a lot of the places that you used to not be able to book, you now can book.
Okay.
I know that's true of my barber as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, the other thing about this restaurant that I thought I'd mention is, and it's why I'll never go back there again, the toilets. I mean, a bad feeling for me, just before I tell you, like a bad feeling for me is when I go to a new place and then I'll just go to the toilet, and then you walk through a little doorway into a hallway, and then you realise the stairs going down, you've got to go downstairs to the toilet or upstairs. Mm. I don't like the toilets being on a different level.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Effort.
So sometimes I like to sneak into the...
No, you don't.
I do sometimes.
Oh, right, I thought you were going to say the ladies.
No, okay. No. So they sneak into the disabled if you know.
Yeah.
I get the lay of the land first.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you never know, but I haven't come a cropper with it yet. I haven't opened the door and had somebody waiting.
Okay.
Which is that's the situation you dread.
Mm.
But I know I'm playing with fire. But anyway, the toilets in this place were up some stairs on a different level to the dining level. And the trouble with it was like an open staircase. Like a sweeping staircase back down from the toilet into the restaurant.
Mm.
And what I've decided I really dislike is any restaurant with a staircase that makes me feel like a debutante. Like somebody at the bottom of the stairs is going to announce me as I walk in. It's like the golden age of Hollywood or something.
And you can't get into a part and do a bit of an imagining.
Yeah, like all eyes are on you as you come down this staircase.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to be on display when I return from the toilet.
From your dirty little secret.
Exactly. And then after that, we went into... Sarah's doing some clothes shopping and she went and tried a few things on. And while she was doing so... it was a clothes shop that also has a small number of homewares and novelty knickknacks in it. Sounds nice, doesn't it?
No.
Do you know which one I'm talking about? Do you have a guess? I don't know why I'm...
Can I say what I think it is? Is it Urban Outfitters?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I got it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell you something.
She's a bit old for Urban Outfitters, no offence.
Well, I
haven't been there for a long time.
You're right. You're right. But I wouldn't say that to her.
No, I've said it.
Obviously.
Now.
Oh, no. But what I did say is I'm too old to be in here.
Oh.
It looks creepy, me being in here.
Yeah, it's full of teenagers, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, she goes off and tries some things on, and there's a table with like rinky dinky little novelty books on it. And I see this one about anxiety.
Mm.
And, you know, it's all, there's a lot of dumb platitudes in it. Like last week, I was talking about tweets that say things like, just take a second to remember how awesome you are.
Yeah.
I feel quite bad.
Why?
Because the person whose tweets I would often see that read like that seems to have now deleted their bank, their Twitter account.
No.
And I don't think it'd be because of me, you know.
No, that's quite extreme reaction.
That would be very narcissistic. Yeah. But I wonder if I've been part of the problem.
Oh, dear.
And maybe like this person is curled up in a ball somewhere.
Oh, no.
He needs to just remember how awesome he is.
Maybe they've realised they're not awesome. Like the rest of us. Sorry.
It's true. That's my point.
None of us are awesome, no, really.
We're fine.
There's a few people.
Not many, though.
Oh, not many.
My
that's
friend
what,
Alex
that's why they're
Kosek
awesome.
Is one, but, yeah. You know, not many. Anyway, so I'm reading this book and it's got things like worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy.
Right.
I think but there's a truth to that, but it doesn't tell me how to stop worrying, though.
No.
I'd love to be able to think, oh, I'll stop that then.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work like that, does it? Yeah.
And another one says, instead of worrying about what you can control, shift your energy to what you can create. And that's the thing. Oh, yeah, great. I'll just shift my energy then. Mm. See, there's a lot missing.
A lot.
Anyway, the reason I mention it is as I was flicking through it, I saw a page and it said on it, to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. And I think it's supposed to read as cautionary, as in, you know, why? What's is life worth living if you aren't vulnerable to criticism? Whereas I read it and I thought, finally, a page of this book that tells me how to do something. I don't think it was supposed to be a maxim for living, but yes. I think that's what I'll be taking it as. Quandary Corner at the Glapp Clinic here in Problematic. Annabelle.
Who's
the first one from?
Lieutenant Colonel Colin.
Lieutenant? Not Lieutenant.
Oh, is it? Since when?
What, are you Annabelle Port from America?
Oh, well, if you want me to. No, no, those days are gone.
Fenty Chinnit.
Lieutenant.
Lieutenant.
Is that right? That's an American. When I say Lieutenant, is that how they say it in America?
Yes.
Didn't know that. Okay.
I don't mind Americanisms.
No, of course not. You live with one. Not more.
No, mind those ones.
So, I'm thinking of when you're in one of those places where you're supposed to negotiate the price, buying a car or a carpet, or, as I found out a few years ago, you're even supposed to barter in PC World.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Have you got, for example, a speech that we can practice until we can say it without crying, like, nice carpet, mate, but you'll have to knock 25% off or I'm walking. Or do we just have to pay full price and think of it as a drifter tax?
I definitely lean towards paying full price and thinking of it as a drifter tax. But I think you can. I think I might have said before, is that your best price? I think that's as much as I can do in that situation.
I did a thing today where I rang up my animal insurance company, pet insurance company, and they put up my premium and it was about to renew. So I thought, oh, I've heard you can ring up and say you're going to cancel and then they reduce it back to what it was. So I did that. They didn't. And then they cancelled it and now I've got no pet insurance.
Oh, no.
It went horribly wrong.
You've got no...
I thought I was going to do some bartering.
What about your no claims bonus?
Oh, God, it's terrible. It's a nightmare. Yeah.
For professional dealings, that's in our line of work, that's what you have an agent for, right? Because it's just so uncomfortable. But I think that's how it goes in real life a lot of the time. Somebody tells you how much money they're willing to pay you, and then you're supposed to go back and say, pay me more. And then they've got a number in their head and you've got a number in your head, and then somehow it ends up in the middle. Mm. But I would feel far too uncomfortable doing that. But whereas my brother, for example, that situation you've just described, there's no way they would have cancelled it. They would have done him some deal or something.
He's
always ringing up like the phone providers and TV providers and all this stuff. And there are people who aren't drifters can just do that.
Right.
So there should be some... Here's an idea for a service. I mean, no one listening to this is going to be able to start it. No. It's like having an agent, but for all those things.
Yes. Yes. To save you all that money and they can take a 5% commission or something.
And they're still, you know, what they're costing you is still... less than what they're saving you.
I would hire that person.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to give them all your passwords and access to all your accounts. You'd have to be really trust them. Like, I wouldn't trust my brother with that, for example.
Mm. Wow. Okay. So actually, we've been unable to answer this apart from get someone else to do it for you or pay the drifter tax.
Yeah. Or I would, if it was something like, I can't, if I was in a Moroccan souk.
Yes.
Which I think is an environment where you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
I'd say, is that your best price?
Right.
But I wouldn't go any further than that.
And then undoubtedly they'll go, yes. And then what do you do?
Okay. Then I'd pay the drifter tax.
Right. Then you wouldn't go, come on.
But I think if it's a situation where the game is afoot, then if you say, is that your best... When I used to work in a shop, in a music shop, we could always give, I can't even remember how much it was. It was at least 10%, maybe 20% off.
Oh, really?
But you had to wait for them to ask.
Really?
Yeah. So what you would either do is, if seemed like somebody was almost going to buy something, but you know, they maybe weren't, you could say, look, if you, you'd say for cash.
Right.
I'll do you 10% off, or I'll throw in a stand and a power charger.
Oh, wow.
And if somebody ever said, is that your best price? Or you can, you'd always like knock 10%. You were just waiting for somebody to say that.
Oh, gosh. So maybe we should be doing this more.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it now. Everywhere I go, is that your best price? Sainsbury's, Tesco's.
Local shop.
Yeah, everywhere. Is that your best price?
I'm going to try it at Five Sapphires on my paper bill.
Well, it's opening up a whole new world.
Yeah.
Okay. We sort of solved that, I think. Right. Next one is from Anon. I work as a PA, and in early 2020, my boss was leaving her position and generously gave me a gift of a theatre e-card. Once the theatres reopened in summer 2021, I booked a couple of shows and enjoyed seeing them over the autumn, still leaving about £90 on the gift card. As an aside, I'm still in occasional email contact with my past boss, and she asked a couple of times last year if I'd used the card and what shows I'd seen. I came to use the rest of the card this January, but to my surprise, was told there was no balance yet left and that transaction was recently made using the remaining balance in the name of my past boss. I'm disappointed. I was looking forward to using up the rest of the voucher, but don't feel there's any way I can face asking my past boss if she spent it, especially if she bought the voucher so long ago and was so generous in the first place. What would you advise?
So... the only way you can ask that question is you contact the past boss and say, I feel extremely uncomfortable asking this. The only reason I'm asking is I'm concerned about fraud and I'd hate to think that somebody had defrauded you. This happened. Ooh. If it was you, no problem. Completely understand.
Oh, so embarrassing though, because it was them, wasn't it?
Right.
Must have been.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit weird that she's...
Yeah, but you want to embarrass them a little. You want to make them feel a bit uncomfortable, but without embarrassing yourself. And if you make it about, I'm a very concerned about the fraudsters, you know, you've got the moral high ground. And then you can make them feel some shame for taking back some of your present money.
It's probably an accident.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Because there will come a stage... Oh, no, I think this is how it's going to resolve itself. There will come a stage when... the ex-boss will ask, oh, what did you use the rest of the money on? And then they'll say, oh, that's what, say weird, you should ask.
Don't wait. No, you've got to
okay,
get,
okay.
You don't be on a back foot here.
Okay. Just be in there. Yeah. All right, then fine.
Anything to add?
No, I'll bow to that.
I want to know what shows they saw, though.
It's hard to guess.
Tina, the Tina Turner musical.
And
they were going to go and see... Back to the Future, but the boss
had seen.
Went to see production of Cabaret that's at the moment, but you just can't get tickets for that for love nor money.
I'm in awe of your knowledge of West End shows.
I've tried.
I couldn't have named a single West End show.
I've
Mamma
so
Mia, is that still on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I could name one as it turns out then.
I'm desperate to see that Cabaret revival, but
it's all sold out.
Oh, so difficult. Yeah. Mm. I've even tried working my contacts.
Really?
My contacts don't reply anymore.
Right.
And And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have a quandary for Quandary Corner, or if you have a story for us, email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man in the Echo for the backing music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took the photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And I'll do one way to finish this week, and it's with a yeah, work it, baby. Podcation time. This comes from Carl Graham, who says, good evening, Jeff and Annabelle.
Good evening.
Good evening. Long-time listener. Fourth time podcation requester. The first request was completely ignored and then explained away with a very unconvincing, it must have been a technical glitch, explanation from Annabelle. In other words, had fallen off the bulldog clip.
Don't make assumptions, Carl.
But I have to say, I suspect your instincts are spot on. You very kindly then gave a couple of birthday podcasts to our children, Harry and Jack. They had been listening to you for a long time. Their consent was never secured, and so it's probably only fair. Well, those children are away now at university at opposite ends of the country. And while friends and colleagues are suggesting that we are empty nesters, etc., and living, as Ricky Martin would say, la vida loca, we are in fact bereft. Let me ask you this question. How much time do you spend thinking about the day Rudy leaves home?
Oh, I've had a conversation about this week about, I say to him regularly, don't ever have to leave, you know, you can stay as long as you want. I'm like preempting the fact that he might want to leave one day by saying, it's not necessary, you can go to university and just still live at home.
Sorry with Ronnie Corbett was your favourite sitcom. Is that what you're trying to recreate there?
He's only four. No, it's only because he mentioned it. He said, when do I have to leave home? And I said, oh, you don't.
Gene told me earlier on that he's going to live in the countryside with a pet blackbird and a brown Great Dane, and he's going to work in Parliament. But he's going to come into the city to work in Parliament to on behalf of birds.
The bird representative.
Yeah. And he's also going to be a teacher in a school where kids are allowed to do whatever they want.
Oh, one of those schools. Yeah. Right. But living at home still.
No, he's living in the countryside.
I thought you were moving with him.
No, right. No, I'm allowed to go whenever I want, but Sarah's not allowed to go.
Oh, dear. Can't think about it.
No.
It's too painful.
It is far too painful, isn't it? So this podcation is for Paula Graham, who is a bit lost while her children are away. She has a flurry of activity around any home visit or catch-up call. She also spends way too much time on that Find My app. What are the ethics of that, do you think?
Yes, I didn't really know about this. You can track someone.
So
can I put one on Tom's phone?
I guess you could.
But what do you know about it?
I don't know. So me and Sarah have the same iTunes account. So she's constantly saying, can you do Find My iPhone? Because she leaves things, she leaves it around the house and doesn't use her eyes and just wants me to make it beep.
Okay.
That's what we use it for mainly, but I don't use it for keeping tabs on her.
Mm.
But if I had kids, I definitely would.
Mm. Kids who'd left home.
Generally, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, in the same way as I'd be reading their diaries. Did I just say if I had kids? Yeah, I have got a kid.
Do you mean kids with phones?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Yeah. our conversations now start with, always in Tesco's, must be sorting his lunch, etc.
I can see myself doing that.
Oh, I can too. Yeah. Sarah said before, if Jim went to university, say in Helsinki or something, we'd just move to Helsinki and be in a flat nearby. We'll just leave you to do your own thing, but we won't be far away if you need us. At least a podcation will go some way to giving us an anecdote to tell friends. All help and support gratefully received. And perhaps a quick reminder to Harry and Jack that emergency credit cards have been gifted do not include coffee shops, beers or Deliveroos. Other takeaway delivery companies aren't available. Well, I think if you want them to like you, you need to turn a blind eye to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Isn't it? I know. It's making us think too much about our children leaving home.
Harry and Jack. Yeah. Other end of the country, living their lives.
Mm. Not ringing home ever. I can start crying.
I've told you this before. This is bleak. But so at the moment, like, still, Jean's like nearly six. And if we're in the street, he's always holding my hand. And I think there's going to be this day where he just won't hold my hand anymore. And that's going to be this little heartbreak. And from then on, it's the completely natural heartbreaks of separation until it gets to a stage when I'll just be in on a Sunday. And I think, I wonder if he'll ring today. And then he doesn't.
Oh, he's probably busy.
I'll maybe ring next week.
No, stop it. It's too much. That's too sad. Some people can't wait for their children to leave home. But I think they've probably had too many then. I think we've just got one. It's like...
But maybe they've like prioritized also having a life.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe. Good point. Yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds like Paula, you know, it's understandable. It's
very, yeah.
You know, you guys, there is a vida loca out there to be lived.
Yes. Just got to get used to it.
Yeah. Or not.
Or not. Yeah.
If you'd like a podcast, email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Oh, dear.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.